kick off your day with the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Rutgers steps in for Texas A&M to play number 17 Wake Forest. Our coverage begins at 11 a.m. Eastern. Full day of football today. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, this is the reward for winning the Duke's Mayo Bowl. If you haven't seen this, brace yourself. I know it's early. Victorious South Carolina coach Shane Beamer. Yep, he took a Mayo bath after beating North Carolina. And if you like mayonnaise, perhaps this doesn't disgust you. I am not a mayonnaise person. I could puke. Any reaction from the team here? Everyone's just looking in disgust. Total disgust.
What people miss is that the bucket hit him in the back of the head first, which probably was like a little like of a primer. Kind of disgusting, I'm not going to lie.
All right, I agree with you on that. This early in the morning to see that much mayonnaise being dumped on anyone's head, getting hit in the head or not, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say about that. Welcome back to Get Up, presented by DraftKings. My name is Shea Cornett, filling in for Greenberg this morning. We've got plenty of football to talk about, so let's do it. Let's get up with Bryce Young and the national champs. Why Saban and the Tide can't afford to look past Cincinnati in their quest for another title. Quarterback matchups don't get much better than what we're going to see this weekend. It's Dak Prescott taking on Kyler Murray. Why Sunday's faceoff means more than just another W. And it says on the schedule that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have to play the Vikings Sunday night, while the real opponent might actually be Mother Nature. All right, let's play a game now of what's your number. So essentially, I'm going to hand out statements here, and you guys are going to tell me what the number will be. Sam Acho's here, and he's going to start things off. How many rushing yards for Jonathan Taylor against the Raiders this weekend?
121. 121 rushing yards for Jonathan Taylor. We know he loves to run the rock. He's rushed for over 100 yards, I think, in 8 of the last 10 games. We also know that the Raiders are the 19th-ranked rushing defense, and so they give up a lot of rushing yards. And the last thing that we don't know is that we don't know if Carson Wentz will play. If he doesn't play, expect the Colts to lean on the run game even more.
Ooh, okay. Mike Tannenbaum, how many touchdown passes for Brady against the Jets this weekend? Feels like house money.
Yeah, I'm going to say 3, and they may all go to Antonio Brown based on what we saw a week ago, but this is a great matchup, great passing offense of Tom Brady, despite the injuries that they have with Evans and Godwin against a very undermanned Jets secondary. So this could be 3, maybe by halftime.
Really? Yeah, 3 by halftime. I was going to say, only 3? I'd give him at least 6, I feel like, in this one. Sam Acho, how many total touchdowns for Kyler Murray against the Cowboys this weekend? We know how that Cowboys D's been playing.
3 total touchdowns. Why? Because Kyler Murray can do it both ways, with his legs, as we see here, but also he can do it throwing the ball as well. The Cardinals have been dynamic in the red zone, especially early in the season. They've struggled recently, especially as of late, the last couple games on their losing streak. But Kyler Murray's going to find a way to score points. The question is, will it be enough points when you're playing the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so here's a look at the NFC playoff picture entering week 17. Cowboys and Cardinals have both clinched playoff spots, but Dallas still has a chance to earn the top seed in the conference, and Arizona can still earn a home playoff game by reigning in their lead in the NFC West. A lot of ifs here. So the Cowboys' win streak has come against teams with losing records, essentially, right, Mike Tannenbaum? So are you confident that they can win against a good team like the Cardinals? I know they haven't been great as of late, but can the Cowboys do it against a good team like the Cardinals, like we saw earlier in the season?
I am extraordinarily highly confident in the Dallas Cowboys. They have the highest ceiling of any team in the NFL. When we talk about defense, DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, and Micah Parsons, they have 3 difference makers. No offensive line can handle 3 great rushers like that. And then on the other side of the ball, where they get the headlines, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard, on and on and on, all Dak has to do is play point guard, distribute the ball to the open player. And if they play B-plus or better on offense and not turn the ball over, this team has the highest ceiling. They could go into Green Bay, they could go into Tampa Bay and win a road playoff game because they have a great difference-making defense.
Mike T, you said you were extraordinarily highly confident. I mean, what would be like a level below that? Like, not so extraordinarily, but still highly confident. I'm confident that the Cowboys can beat the Cardinals. The Cowboys are winning and the Cardinals are losing. People forget that winning is contagious. Also, losing is contagious as well. I think I'm with you. The Cowboys are going to win this game. I believe they will. Based off of the defense, all the dogs you mentioned up front, based off their offense, Dak look healthy, Zeke look healthy. But I just push back on the whole "they're back" thing, right? That's the whole. You didn't say that, but some people have been saying, "Man, they're back, they're back, they're back." For me, we need to pump the brakes on that a little bit. Last week, we saw the Cowboys offense was back. But the weeks before that, the 3 or 4 weeks before that, they didn't look all the way back. And so maybe they'll continue it offensively. I think that the defense will be the reason that the Cowboys win this game. Maybe they'll continue it. Maybe they won't. We just need to pump the brakes on the whole Cowboys are back narrative and storyline.
Cowboys have forced a league-high 33 turnovers. If they can make Kyler Murray and that offense uncomfortable, they don't have D-Hop, what are they going to do? Maybe just continue to run the ball? I don't know. Point is, we have a hard time trusting both of these teams for very different reasons. And so let's get to our picks now. Cowboys and Cardinals on Sunday. It's week 17. Sam Acho, who you taking?
I'm going Dallas Cowboys. And they extend their winning streak on Sunday. I think the Cardinals extend their losing streak. And then also the Cardinals, after this game, they got the Seahawks. That might be another game you could potentially lose. Division game, now you got 5 losses in a row.
My goodness. And I remember when they played the Rams a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
All they had to do was win, right? And then they were on top of the division. They were going to the playoffs, and now it's been a big old mess. Mike Tannenbaum, who you taking?
You know, Sam, I'm a lot more highly confident that the Dallas Cowboys are going to win this game than Shay's actually going to fulfill her promise of sending me Lou Malotti deep dish pizza. So we're going to go with the Cowboys winning, and I don't know if we're ever going to get that holiday gift down here.
Mike T, the worst part about it, though, is that you could get those boxes. You could send them to people easily. I live in Chicago, too, so I know how easily Shay could send you the pizza. For whatever reason, she hasn't decided
to
send
it. What's
going on here? Now you're throwing me under the bus, too?
I'm new around here. Why haven't you sent Mike T his box of Lou Malnati's
pizza? First of all, this was decided Sunday. What day is it? It hasn't even been 1 week.
That's a whole week. That's a business week. That's 5 business days. What are we talking about? Give us an answer, Shay.
I don't have one. It's Lou Malnati's. There's an S at the end.
I thought it was Illuminati. I'm like, Illuminati's pizza?
How would I know? It hasn't arrived here. How would I know that?
Wait, I will make you aware very quickly. We need to move on. This is making me hungry. It's very early in the morning. Let's go back to the college football front. It's the 8th annual college football playoff, and it kicks off this afternoon in a matchup of strength against strength. Michigan faces off with Georgia. The Wolverines ranked 3rd in the FBS with 39 rushing touchdowns. But Georgia has only allowed 3 rushing scores all season, fewest in the FBS. In the Cotton Bowl, Cincinnati will face off with number 1 Alabama. It's a tall task for the first group of 5 team to make the playoff. Alabama is the favorite to repeat with a bit of history on their side, as the last 2 Heisman winners have also won the national championship. All right, so Alabama, who has won its last 5 semifinal games, is currently a 13.5-point favorite to beat Cincinnati, according to Caesar Sportsbook. It would be the 3rd largest spread in a college football playoff game. Not great news for Cincinnati, but maybe Tim Tebow can shed some light on that. So let's welcome in Tim Tebow. He gets up with us for more. And Sam Acho is obviously here as well to talk about what we're going to see in college football today. Let's focus in on those quarterbacks in these playoff games, beginning with Alabama's Bryce Young. Tim, what do you expect to see from him? Don't know if Tim can hear us, so we'll come back to him in just a little bit. Sam, what do you think about Bryce Young and this Alabama offense?
I expect to see patience in the pocket. I expect to see what I've seen all season long, but specifically I expect to see what we saw the last 5 quarters of football for Bryce Young. We saw in the SEC championship game, Bryce Young was outstanding, setting and breaking records. We saw in the 4th quarter and overtime of the Iron Bowl against Auburn, Bryce Young had his Heisman moment. And so that's what I expect to see from Bryce Young. Calm, cool, collected, patient in the pocket. I think he's going to make really great decisions. That's why he won the Heisman. That's what I think we're going to see from this quarterback.
All right, it sounds like we do have Tim Tebow now. So, Tim, we're over here talking about this Alabama offense. What do you expect to see from Bryce Young tonight?
Well, I think Bryce is ready for this moment, but I think what's really important for Bryce is to be able to identify and adjust. I think Luke Fickell is going to throw so many things. They're going to run a 3-3-5. They're going to run a 3-2-6. They're going to run 4 down. They're going to play little man, but they're going to adjust to a bunch of zones. Luke Fickell is going to throw everything and the kitchen sink at Bryce Young, because they can't just line up and play man-to-man over and over again. They got 2 great corners, yes, but their linebackers and their safeties can't match up with the tight ends and the slot receivers of Alabama. So I think Luke Fickell's going to throw so many things at them, and that's where they hang their hat, is when quarterbacks press just a little bit, throw it in harm's way, they get a tip, they get a pick. That's what Cincinnati's MO is. So Bryce Young has to identify and adjust over and over, because they're going to see everything in this game.
Okay, so Tim, you're over there talking about Cincinnati's defense and everything you're going to throw at him. But what about the quarterback? What's Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati going to throw at Alabama?
I think he has to be the biggest X factor in all of these games. When a team knocks off Alabama, it starts by great quarterback play. Honestly, not just great quarterback play, elite quarterback play. And it has to be with his arm and his legs. I think he's got to be throwing into tight windows down the field. You got to make big plays against Alabama, but also on 3rd down, his legs are crucial. When they face combo coverage or man coverage, he's got to be able to step up in the pocket, avoid Will Anderson, who's the best defensive player in the country, and then have to be able to make a first down with his legs, probably in the red zone as well. That's where I think Desmond Ridder has the ability. But can you do it on this stage against the best team in the country? He has to be the best player on the field to give Cincinnati a chance.
I heard Luke Fickell talk about how they felt like playing in South Bend against Notre Dame kind of set him up for this big moment. Do you think Desmond Ridder can compare those two things and actually do it today against Alabama?
Absolutely. Desmond Ridder and the Cincinnati football team, they step up in big moments. They step up when it matters. They stepped up in the AAC championship game. They stepped up against Notre Dame. And I think the reason why they're going to step up is that their big-time players will make big-time plays in big-time games. And big-time players meaning Desmond Ridder and what? Alec Pierce, a receiver who's great at making contested catches. Usually against some teams, you'll see Cincinnati have people running wide open. You're not going to see too many people running wide open against Alabama. But even so, Desmond Ridder's still going to have to trust his playmakers. Josh Wiley at tight end. You're going to have to trust Pierce at receiver. Even when they're covered, throw it up and have them make plays because they've done it before and they can do it again.
Can Cincinnati upset Alabama? We'll find out in just a couple of hours. Let's go to the Orange Bowl now, Tim Tebow. What are the expectations for Michigan's Cade McNamara against Georgia's defense?
Well, I think he has to be aggressive first and foremost. When you sit back and you're kind of patient against Georgia, they will eat you alive. It's the best defense in the country. They're going to play very aggressive, and I think you have to match that aggressiveness with aggressiveness. I think you look at what Bryce Young and Alabama did. When they were patient, they got crushed for the first couple of drives. After that, they started going at the throat with daggers, with skinny posts, with go routes, and they were aggressive to put Georgia on their heels. If Michigan wants to win this game, it's not just turn it around 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That is where Georgia excels. Where Michigan has a chance is when they go at their throat. The big plays down the field, trick plays like you saw against Iowa. That's where I think Michigan has to be able to make those big plays to play on their terms so you're not playing in Georgia's game.
The difference, though, Tim, is that Michigan doesn't have what Alabama had. Alabama had John Metchie and Jamison Williams. They could attack the weakness of Georgia. Michigan doesn't have that necessarily. But what Michigan does have is an X factor at backup quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. I think what makes Michigan different, even special, is the fact that they can sprinkle in trick plays. They can sprinkle in J.J. McCarthy. They can sprinkle in his speed and his accuracy in addition to Cade McNamara. They can throw throwbacks. They can do what we saw against Maryland, special teams, punts blocked. That's how I think Michigan is going to be able to win this game. It's not going to be, as you mentioned, 3 yards and a cloud of dust. We know that that's how you beat Georgia. Alabama didn't beat Georgia that way. When Alabama ran the ball, they were running on the edges. And so you're not going to attack the front seven. I think it's going to be guys like J.J. stepping up big in this game.
Interesting. Let's go to Georgia now. Expectations from their quarterback, Stetson Bennett. What do you think, Tim?
His receivers aren't as elite as the rest of the teams that we talked about. McConkey's a pretty good double move guy down the field, but the rest of them aren't necessarily elite, and we don't know if George Pickens is 100% back. So I think what's really important for Stetson is to find your second and third read, especially your tight ends. I think Brock Bowers might be the best tight end in the country and might be one of the most explosive players for all four of these teams. So it's find your second read, especially if it's Brock Bowers or your backs. Your backs are really good when he can find them, and it's just a check down, it's a flat, it's a swing. Get it to your backs because they can also be playmakers. And if Stetson does that, I think it's going to give this offense such an advantage because then when you get those first downs, now he can use his legs. And when Michigan plays that man coverage, especially in the red zone, now he can do what he does best. And that's off of zone reads or play action boots where he can use his legs because this guy's also one of the fastest guys on the team. And people don't really realize just the athlete that he is. He's a 4-4 guy. He's someone that has been clocked at 20 miles an hour. He's a really good athlete. So when he can get some of those first downs, get the momentum going, and then use his legs, especially on third down in the red zone, then he can be a difference maker for this team.
Well, Tim, I got a question. I don't even, because I'm with you on this, but how come we have the storyline around Stetson Bennett where it needs to be somebody else, needs to be JT Daniels? Why is that storyline even thriving?
Well, it's because a lot of the media doesn't want it to die. And you listen to the coaches, and honestly, you listen to the players. The players want Stetson Bennett to be the guy. JT Daniels throws a beautiful ball. JT Daniels was highly recruited. JT Daniels has come in and had some amazing plays. But it's not my opinion. It's the players' opinion. They believe in Stetson Bennett. The coaches believe in Stetson Bennett. And they also believe that he gives this team the best chance to win. Not necessarily is he the best down the field throw. Not necessarily does he throw the best ball. It's not the most beautiful ball. But this team has rallied around him, and they believe he gives them the best chance to win.
Yeah, I'm with that totally. And Tim, before we let you go, I don't know if you heard the segment before, but we were getting on Shay on not sending people Lou Malnati's pizza. I don't know if you heard that.
How is this coming back up?
How do we convince Shay to send our friends and our homies and our teammates Lou Malnati? How do we do that? How do we convince Shay to keep her word?
Well, Tim. I mean, have you guys been nice enough to her? I don't know. I feel like maybe you're just giving her such a hard time that, you know, she's like, hey, I'm going to send it to other people that are being a little bit nicer to me. I don't know.
See, that's why Stephen A. always says my friend Tim Tebow. I understand why now. Fast friends. I like it. Tim Tebow, thank you so much. Enjoy football
appreciate
today.
You.
We appreciate it.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you, too. The college football playoff semifinals are today on ESPN and the ESPN app. It's Heisman winner Bryce Young and number one Alabama taking on number four Cincinnati. That's in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at 3:30 Eastern. Then it's number two Michigan and number three Georgia in the Capital One Orange Bowl. Coming up, we know we talk about Aaron Rodgers all the time. We get that. But he is the gift that keeps on giving. Why this weekend he may have a tougher opponent than the Vikings. And Lamar Jackson limping, quite literally. Are the Ravens' playoff chances doing the same? Why Baltimore really needs to consider sitting their superstar against the Rams this weekend.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Rodgers and the Packers have been on fire lately, but there's always questions about what his future holds. So Wednesday, Aaron Rodgers spoke about his future with Green Bay after the season. Here he is.
I wouldn't rule that out. You know, I think that I'm just enjoying this season for this season. And I think there's playing next year will definitely be in the thought process. If this year has stopped me anything, it's that, you know, I still can play. I still have a love for the game. I'm still super competitive and still enjoy the process of the week. You know, there'll be a lot of things that'll weigh in the off season. Saying that doesn't mean, or any of the comments I've made doesn't mean I'm thinking about elsewhere. I do want to clarify that. So I'm just savoring this year, I think, as much as anything. And I don't want to, it won't be something where I'll drag it out for months and months.
Did I hear him say I'm not thinking about elsewhere? Because I don't believe him. Not even 1%. Are you buying what he's selling?
I'm buying it. I'm buying it. Give me some more money so I can buy some more. I believe what Aaron Rodgers is saying. And I think, of course, we talk about it, but I think the media should love this because he's spilling the beans. He's speaking his heart. He's speaking his mind. You got the Belichicks of the world who don't say anything, the Patricias of the world who wouldn't really speak too much, but you got a guy at quarterback, not only a quarterback, an MVP coming off of last year, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, who's spilling all the beans here and on McAfee's show. And so for me, I love what Aaron Rodgers is saying because the fact of the matter is he doesn't know. He doesn't know what the future holds. A lot of it is contingent and dependent on what happens in the playoffs and hopefully for him and his team, the Super Bowl.
Mike T.
He's the leader, and he knows right now their singular focus should be home field advantage, win 2 home playoff games, and go win another championship. And nothing else matters. There's a time and place for it. And while Aaron Rodgers is completely capable of handling any discussion, any distraction, he's an all-time great. He's the leader of the franchise, and every one of his teammates is going to parse every word he says, and that's a minute they're not focusing on their opponent. So he doesn't have to be Bill Belichick year-round, but there's a time and a place, and right now he should shut it down and just be focused at the task at hand, and that gives him the best chance to win another title.
Mike T, two things. One, teammates, players, let me put it this way. guys in the locker room are not looking through and watching the media and seeing what people are saying. That's not what we do. Guys are focused on practice.
Stop.
It's true.
That is what Aaron Rodgers does, though. But he knows what everyone is saying.
We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. He's talking about all the other guys, right? He said all the other guys. They're the 52 guys on the roster, the rookies, the young players. Those guys are what we're talking about. Those guys aren't sitting, man, what did A-Rod say about this? If Aaron has something to say, you go ask him, hey, A-Rod, what do you say about this or that? So that's not what's happening in the locker room, right? That's number one. And number two, I feel you, right? I hear you, man. He should be focused on winning the division and getting a first round bye and all those things. But he is. He's been talking all season long. There have been scandals. There have been conversations all season long. Yet somehow, some way, they're still 12-3. They're still number one in the NFC. They're still about to get a first round bye with all of the noise. And so I think that even proves the point further that guys aren't sitting there like, oh no, we're so distracted and lost and confused because Aaron Rodgers said something else in the media. Guys in the locker room, they don't hear that, nor do they care about it.
Right. But Sam, that's exactly what the media does, which is they're going to ask his teammates about his comments. They're going to ask the David Bakhtiaris, the Davante Adams, hey, Davante Adams, you're going to be a free agent. Does it matter where Aaron Rodgers plays? Like, all those things, again, come out of what he says. He's the one that sets the tone and the narrative for the week with the media. And that's why, to me, when you compare it to someone like Tom Brady, who is so singularly focused during the season to only talk about the task at hand, again, it's to maximize their chances to win. It's not about he shouldn't have a platform. It's about when he should use it.
I just feel like he's always so methodical in every single thing he says. Hey, Jeremy Fowler, you know this locker room. You follow this team, obviously, very closely. What do you make of Rodgers' comments?
Well, what comes out of his comments is that he is in a better place with the Green Bay Packers organization. I'm hearing that his communication with the front office especially has been very strong since he came back from training camp because the Packers played this well. They let him vent when he needed to, show up when he needed to. And then when he got there, they got to work on inclusion with the GM and Rodgers talking more often about, you know, the future and the direction of the franchise. I know the whole locker room had a renewed spirit the moment Rodgers walked back in, particularly his offensive guys. And so we don't know what's going to happen, but you can't undersell some of the good vibes coming out of there, and it makes it feel like anything is possible.
All right, Jeremy, I'm going to stay with you because let's get our picks for this weekend. I don't need to hear from anyone else. I know we're all taking the Packers, except for you, Jeremy. You're the only one I'm unsure about. Who are you taking this weekend, Packers or Vikings?
Well, I literally changed my pick about like 4 minutes ago because, you know, I was texting with some Vikings people. They feel like they have a good game plan, and they feel like the locker room has not given up on Mike Zimmer. Let's be honest. There's some heat with Zimmer. He's been there 8 years. They haven't won big. You know, he could be fighting for his job in this case. This is a team that's still in the playoff hunt. I like desperation. I gravitate toward that, and the Vikings are a very desperate team. Packers already in the playoffs. Maybe they'll let up a little bit.
Yikes, no Thielen, that could be a big problem. Thank you, Jeremy Fowler. All right, we got lots more to get to. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they've won 8 in a row. So why do some of my friends here on GetUp think that Kansas City is in trouble against the Bengals this weekend? You'll find out next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rise and shine with SportsCenter live at 7 a.m. Eastern. Everything you need to know from breakout performances to breaking news and analysis. You'll get it on the 7 a.m. SportsCenter live 7 days a week. The only way to start your sports day.
You're watching Get Up presented by DraftKings. So in a matchup of young star quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs visit Joe Burrow and the Bengals this weekend. It's the first time the two quarterbacks have squared off as both are coming off great performances and big wins in Week 16. The Chiefs are the only AFC team to clinch a spot in the postseason so far, but the Bengals, who they face on Sunday, can join them with a W. It would be Cincinnati's first division title since 2015. And so that has us thinking about the future. And I mentioned it, first times Mahomes and Burrow are going to square off. So could this be a long rivalry for these two young quarterbacks? Mike T, what do you think?
Yeah, there's a rivalry here, but I think we have to pump the brakes just a little bit. Patrick Mahomes is on the trajectory of being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Joe Burrow has had a good season and a half beginning of his career. So we have a long, long way to go. And he's had to overcome injuries already. The offensive line isn't nearly what it needs to be a championship caliber offensive line. So he's flashed, and certainly he's done last week was, what, the fourth most ever. But when I think about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, I think they're on a platform to have that rivalry with Patrick Mahomes before I would put Joe Burrow in that class just yet.
I mean, Joe Burrow balled out last week, whereas Justin Herbert, not so much. What do you think? Do you think this is a rivalry we're going to see for a long time in the future?
I mean, I think when you talk about rivalry, Shay, I think it's more about teams than it is about individual players, right? Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, they both had teams that could compete. Now we're trying to see, is Cincinnati going to be one of these teams that can compete and really get to the playoffs? Cincinnati has work to do to get to the playoffs, to win the division. You got to go and beat Kansas City. And if you don't, and if Cleveland wins, now all of a sudden you got a Week 18 matchup where Cleveland could go and win the division. And so I think that Joe Burrow is an unbelievable, outstanding, fantastic, and amazing quarterback. When you talk about competition, when you talk about rivalries, it's more than just about individual players. It's about what is your team going to do. And so when I think about teams in the AFC, I think about teams like the Chargers, right, who are kind of rising. Teams like the Bills, who are rising. These are teams where you talk about this kind of competition and rivalries going down the line.
Okay, fair enough. Jeremy Fowler, what do you think about all this? Do you think this Joe Burrow situation, Patrick Mahomes, do you think they're equal, that it's a rivalry we're going to see for a long time?
Well, not quite yet, but it's funny that Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo said this week that Burrow reminds him of a young Tom Brady. He probably saw what happened to Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale the week before when he said, hey, it's too early to give Joe Burrow a gold jacket. Well, Burrow put 500 yards on him in that Sunday game against the Ravens. So Spagnuolo's like, hey, he's the best ever. He can do whatever he wants. And so, but I think what that teases is that Burrow is a stone-cold killer. He has that edge to him. He's ready to rise to the occasion, especially when doubted. So there are some demeanor traits maybe similar to Brady or a Patrick Mahomes. I'm not ready to say there's a rivalry yet because you have four or five guys that can compete with Mahomes in the AFC. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, you know, Deshaun Watson, if he stays in the AFC, potentially when he gets back into a lineup somewhere, he's still at least on the field. Top five quarterback. So plenty of greatness to go around. Burrow is in that conversation, not the top of the conversation.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just shocked someone other than Mac Jones is being compared to Tom Brady when really no one should be compared to Tom Brady. But that's a discussion for another day. All right, let's get to picks here between the Chiefs and the Bengals. We're all taking the Bengals. I know this could be surprising to many, but Sam, who are you taking?
Yeah, y'all are all tripping because I'm taking the Chiefs. The Chiefs have won eight games in a row. You don't win eight games in a row by accident. You don't start playing playoff football, December football, winning football in November just to lose the last week of December. That's not what you do. Your defense has been playing at an outstanding level these last 8 weeks, and also Pat Mahomes is playing better as well. And so I'm excited. We're all excited about the 525 yards that Joe Burrow put up. We're excited. We're all excited about T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. We're all excited about the weapons. We're all excited about everything that Cincinnati has done and can do. But we need to get a little bit more excited about an eight-game winning streak, about Tyrann Mathieu, about Travis Kelce, about Tyreek Hill, and about a team that went to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. So y'all need to pump y'all's brakes because I'm going with the Chiefs.
I think if we've learned anything about the Chiefs this year, though, it's that they're beatable, okay? Maybe not.
Ooh, when? How? Where?
In the beginning of the season. Weren't we all watching the same quarterback play terribly?
This is a new team.
It's the same players.
Shay, beginning of the season, let me just get on my little soapbox. Beginning of the season, this team was playing bad. They were giving up 29 points a game. Then all of a sudden something happened, whether it was a team meeting. Usually that happens. You guys get together and say, things have to change. We don't need new players. We need to change our mindset. And that's what they did. Ever since the last 8 weeks, their defense has been different. Pat Mahomes has been getting better. Yes, he was AFC Player of the Month last month, so he's been playing well as well. 100,000, over 1,000 passing yards, all that kind of stuff. But the defense is different. The team is different. So they were beatable back in September and maybe early October, but in November, December, and January, and possibly February, I don't think this team is beatable.
Hey, I disagree with you clearly because I took the Bengals, and the rest of us disagree with you too. But we will see.
We need to talk on Monday. All when right. this game is over, we need to talk on in 2022. Y'all holler at me.
All right. If the playoffs were going to begin today, let's focus in on the Ravens, another AFC North team. They would find themselves on the outside looking in. The Ravens currently have a 31% chance of making the playoffs per ESPN FBI. Their chances would improve to 59% with the win on Sunday and fall to an 8% chance with a loss. So not so great. So Ravens just on the outside of that playoff picture. And then we know Lamar Jackson's health totally in question. So are the Ravens playoff hopes essentially done, especially if Lamar is hurt? What do you think, Sam?
Yes, absolutely. It reminds me of like in high school. I don't remember. We had inside jokes in high school. And like people would be like, and you're done, right? And Ravens, you're done. And it has nothing to do with your talent. It's the lack thereof. It's about the people who aren't able to play. It's about all your running backs who are injured. It's about Marlon Humphrey, your Pro Bowl, your All-Pro cornerback who's hurt. All the other DBs who are hurt. It's about offensive linemen who are injured. It's about now your quarterback who's gone. So for me, it's not the fact that the Ravens aren't a good football team generally and historically. It's the fact that this year in 2021, this isn't the Ravens. This is just like the Ravens, like the ride. You know what I mean? It just stops like at the ends. Leave the back half off of it because it's not the same football team. So you're done.
Okay, so the Rams are only a 4.5-point favorite. I say only because I feel like with all of the injuries and if there's no Lamar Jackson, you feel like it would be bigger. What do you think, Mike T? Do you think that the playoff hopes for the Ravens are out the window, especially considering how we saw Lamar Jackson limping around practice yesterday?
Yeah, it's not over. And I'll complete the word for Sam. It's the Ravens, and they have a heart of a champion, and they have a great head coach. And because of that, I can't count them out. Now, look, we all know they've been decimated truly on both sides of the ball. And in this game, I am worried about their corners against the great Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford and OBJ's coming along for the Rams. But they're at home. If they beat the Rams and if the Chiefs beat the Bengals, which, according to Sam, is a mortal lock, all they have to do is beat the Steelers, and they're back in the playoffs. So I think it's a real possibility. And if this game was in L.A., I'd probably feel different, but it's one game. Tyler Huntley has surprised people. I think Baltimore could beat the Rams this weekend.
And, Mike T., I think you're right. You're absolutely right, actually. The Ravens absolutely do have a heart of a champion. The only issue is they just had open heart surgery, bro. Everybody is gone. The heart is they have heart issues right now. So I'm with it. Like, if anybody's pro Ravens and a fan of the Ravens and what they've done historically, I am. I love the way their defense has played. Offensively, they had the number one rushing offense the last 2 years. So we get it. But this is not the same football team. This is not the same team, the same players that are going to be out there. This is different guys, second string, third string, even fourth string guys. And so I get it. Harbaugh is a phenomenal coach. He can do phenomenal things, but I don't think he can overcome the Rams football team that has won 3 or even 4 games in a row. And so for me, I'm going Rams, heart of a champion, correct, but that heart has been replaced.
Okay, if Lamar Jackson is not 100%, obviously it takes away his biggest strength, which would be his mobility. And so the question is he going to play or is he not going to play? And Jeremy Fowler, I hear you have an update. What you got?
Well, it's not looking good right now. They're hoping that his ankle injury can perk up over the next few days. You know, they'll probably give him through the weekend just to see how he feels. But Tyler Huntley is on track to start this game. And I don't even know if Lamar Jackson is a slam dunk for week 18. I think the Ravens are going to keep waiting for him to come save the day. That doesn't look plausible right now based on the way he was moving around. You know, I talked to somebody with the Ravens who said it's great that he practiced on Wednesday for the first time since December 12th. He just doesn't look like himself right now. So not looking good.
Yeah, I know a lot of times these teams, and this is just from me covering the NFL for a few years, these teams will have a player practice and see how he reacts to it. Obviously, this news is not great considering he didn't react great to that practice. Jeremy Fowler, thank you so much. Okay, we're going to get to some picks now, and we're going to play this the same kind of way because all of us are on the bandwagon here with the Rams. Like, the Rams are going to go in. They're not as bruised and having open heart surgery, according to Sam Acho. But then we've got Mike T here as the contrarian this time. And so who are you taking, Mike Tannenbaum?
Yeah, I'm going with Baltimore, and again, they're at home. They have a better special teams, and I think they're going to find a way. And I like Tyler Huntley. I think he'll make enough plays against the Rams, which are vulnerable on defense. We know about Aaron Donald, know about Jalen Ramsey, but there are plays you can make against this Ram defense. I like the Ravens at home.
All right. We're going to find out who else you like this weekend, because we're going to get some quick picks now for some other games that are notable on this week 17 slate. Let's start with some quick picks. And again, Mike T, we're going to you first here. Dolphins travel to face off with the Titans. Who wins this one?
I'm going to go with Tennessee. They're getting back Tyler Lewan, and they may get back a couple other defensive linemen. Don't know yet. Danico Autry, Bud Dupree. Tennessee's at home. Ryan Tannehill playing his old team. I like Tennessee in a tough, low-scoring game.
Okay, good. He likes the Titans there. Sam Ancho, Eagles flying south to face the Washington football team. Not that much south, though. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go, and I hesitate with this, so I'm going to go Washington. I've been trying to root for Washington for a long, long time. Philly's been playing great. But I believe, like Mike T believes in coaches, I believe in Ron Rivera. I think Ron Rivera is going to find a way to miraculously beat this division rival in Philadelphia. And so defense is going to play better. Guys are going to be healthier after the shellacking of last week in the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going Washington.
Man, it was a shellacking. That is a bold pick by you. Mike T, Browns face the Steelers in what might be Big Ben's last game at Heinz Field. Who wins?
I'm going to go with Steelers. And as Brooke Pryor said earlier in the show, maybe Ben kind of stirred it up, try to get the crowd going. Cleveland just hasn't been the same this year, candidly, really on both sides of the ball, even though their defense has played well in spots. But Baker Mayfield's been disappointing. And I think this will be Ben's last stand, and they'll find a way to win that last home game.
Yeah, and at some point, we're all going to come up here and talk about how just how disappointing the Browns have been, because every week it seems to mount up.
What if they win, though? What if they? What if the Browns win?
Well, then we won't have that conversation.
Well, you said at some point. What if they win? What if, like, I mean,
I think none, after everything that's happened, even if they win this weekend, the Browns season has been disappointing.
They could still win the division. They win this weekend, and the Chiefs win this weekend, and they play the Bengals in Week 18, and they beat the Bengals in Week 18. Now, all of a sudden, they're division leaders.
You can ride with ifs all day long. I'm telling you, the Browns have been a disappointment so far this season. Coming up.
Give me 2 weeks.
Eyes.
Next Monday.
We'll be on Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray Sunday in Dallas. But should they be? Who will steal the show in one of the NFL's marquee matchups?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You are watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings. Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes face off for the first time Sunday. Burrow comes in off the best game of his career, while Mahomes is looking for win number 50 in just 62 career starts. Matthew Stafford and the Rams, well, they look to stay hot against the Ravens, who have allowed a league-worst 75 QBR since Week 14. Baltimore is awaiting the return of Lamar Jackson, who hasn't played since Week 14. Kyler Murray and the slumping Cardinals head to Dallas. Murray has more interceptions than touchdown passes in his last five games. That's not great. While Dak, coming off a four-touchdown performance last week against the Washington football team. And so here's a look at the NFC playoff picture entering Week 17. Cowboys and Cardinals have both clinched playoff spots, but Dallas still has a chance to earn the top seed in the conference. And Arizona can still earn a home playoff game by regaining their lead in the NFC West. Okay, so let's focus in on some of these matchups, and let's start out with Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott. So Cardinals are 10-5, and of course Kyler Murray under center is when they have that record. So can Kyler Murray expose this Cowboys defense in this game at all, Sam?
No.
No. What are they exposing?
There's nothing to expose. Okay. I mean, Mike T even said it earlier, this Cowboys defense is good through and through, the front end, the back end, and in the middle. You got Dobbs up front, right? You got Micah Parsons, who plays on the line and also in the middle linebacker. You've got DeMarcus Lawrence, who's hunting as well. You've got Randy Gregory, who gets after the quarterback. You got Trayvon Diggs, who has 11 interceptions. There are so many players on this football team that can ball. And then you got Dan Quinn, who's the brains behind it all. Dan Quinn turning down head coaching job interviews to go and coach this football team. And so for me, there's absolutely nothing to expose for the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, Kyler Murray is a cheetah and he's fast and all those things. But we got some defenders to hunt.
Okay, so my question is, do the Cowboys have the best defense in the NFL? You just gave a lot of reasons why you think they might. So now can you go ahead and bite the bullet?
No, I ain't biting that bullet. No. I don't think they have the best defense in the NFL, but they're close, right? I still am high on Tampa Bay. I still believe in Todd Bowles. I still believe, even with injuries in Levante David and even though Shaq Barrett's injured, I get all that. So I still am high on Tampa's defense. Obviously, Buffalo, I think they have right now the number one defense in the NFL, another great defense. And so I don't think Dallas has the best defense, but they have the potential to be the best defense.
Okay, fair enough. So he has a little caveat there. Let's go to who steals the show now in this game. If you had to pick a player, and maybe it's outside the obvious, or maybe it is the obvious, who would it be? Mike T, who do you think steals the show?
I think it's Micah Parsons, because he athletically could do it all, and he may have to spy on Kyle Murray in one play and then run down the scene with Zach Ertz on another. And I think when you speak to people around the league, where it's so impressive about Parsons working with Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator, as Sam has mentioned, is he's game plan specific and he has such athleticism that he could do all those different jobs. And I think he's solidifying himself as one of the best defensive players in our game right now.
Sam, who you got?
Oh, I got Micah Parsons as well for all the reasons Mike T said and more. You talked about the people around the league who think that Micah Parsons is a beast. It's also the people in the league, right? Like, when we watch as players, yes, we talk about looking at media, but we watch film, and we watch guys like Micah Parsons ball week in and week out. So the guys in the league have the utmost respect for Micah Parsons. He is a dog. He is an animal. He gets sacks. He covers receivers. He plays all over the football field. I think he should be the MVP of the season. You can put Jonathan Taylor in there as well. I'm kind of anti-quarterback right now. Let's spread the love.
I feel that.
But he's a beast. He's a monster.
All right, Jeremy Fowler, who you got? Who's going to steal the show in this Cardinals-Cowboys matchup?
I'm going with the Cardinals player that's going to be meeting Micah Parsons in the hole. That's running back James Conner. One of the best stories of the year. He's on a $1.75 cheap million-dollar contract, but yet he's got 16 touchdowns, made the Pro Bowl. So for the air raid offense with Cliff Kingsbury, it's sort of perceived as soft and pass-happy, but when they're at their best, they're running the ball a lot. So it's going to be a lot of James Conner, a lot of Chase Edmonds if they have a chance in this one.
Okay, I'm going to stick with that running back theme, and I'm going to go against the grain a little bit. You might think I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott, but I'm going to go the other way and give me Tony Pollard. He's led the Cowboys in rushing 5 times since Week 10, and the last two has resulted in W's. He's super efficient when they play with the lead, which I think the Cowboys will be doing, and so I think Tony Pollard totally steals the show in this one.
Change up.
Switching things up. It feels like a little bit of an upset when I just said that, and so let's get to our biggest upsets in Week 17, and we're going to do that really quick. So upset of the weekend. Jeremy, I'll let you have the floor first. Who are you taking?
Just the game we talked about. I'm going Cardinals out in the desert. They've lost a few games at home, but they're 7-1 on the road. Losing to that Lions game was a little weird, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here because they've loaded up on toughness, leadership. Kyler Murray, Mike T once called him the best athlete in the world. I expect that best athlete to show up big against Dallas.
Ooh, he's using Mike T's lingo. I like it. Sacho, who are you taking?
My upset, and I don't really fully believe in this one, so it's a huge caveat. I had a different one, but for whatever reason, they put this one in there, so I'm going to speak to the film. I'm hoping, praying, believing, asking that the Washington football team can beat Philly. I know it sounds like I'm a Philly hater right now. I actually like Philly. I want them to be successful, but also love Ron Rivera, the way that he has this team playing to their standard, a defensive football team, a team that's going to run the ball and not turn it over. Obviously, we didn't see that last week. A lot of injuries, a lot of guys who were on COVID. I think those guys are going to be back. I think Washington is going to hopefully win.
Mike T, are you staying in the NFL? Or you going to the college gridiron?
I'm going to college gridiron, where I will be this evening. The University of Michigan will beat the Georgia Bulldogs and face Alabama in the national championship game. I'm not even sure why this is an upset, but they're the underdog. This should be a great game. Two well-coached teams, both very physical, both want to run the ball. Michigan makes a couple more plays than Georgia, and the Michigan Wolverines will be playing in Indianapolis for the national championship.
Okay, I like that. I actually would ride with you on this one. I don't think you'll ride with me on this one. Give me the Denver Broncos over the Chargers. The Broncos rank in the top quarter of the league in terms of running back carries, yards, and yards per carry. And where do the Chargers find themselves? Way at the bottom. I think the Broncos run all over the Chargers, and we have ourselves a nice upset this weekend. And I know, Mike T, that might make you feel something, but I'm sorry, I can't ride with you on that one.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
Fair enough. Hey, remember when Jim Harbaugh was on the hot seat coming into this season? Will Michigan's first trip to the college football playoff end today or with a trip to the national championship? That sounds like a question for First Take immediately following Get Up at the top of the hour.
Now, Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And tomorrow, Bowl Mania on ESPN continues with Oklahoma State taking on Notre Dame in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl at 1 Eastern. And then Utah and Ohio State square off in the Rose Bowl game. And we cap the day with Baylor and Ole Miss in the All-State Sugar Bowl.
This is going to be spectacular.
We call this TV magic. It's 2021. We need brightness. We need light.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're on to something.
This is who we are.
This is a show where we tend to have a lot of fun.
I mean, it's better than Sesame Street.
I watch Get Up every morning.
Sports, love, we do it all here. Welcome to the new spicy Get Up, y'all.
Remember, we're a family show.
Hot dang.
All kids these days.
We bring you outstanding insight, and we bring you Damian Woody in a red mink.
How do you not want to grab a bat and let's start swinging?
The train is coming down the track. Choo-choo!
We're going to have an emergency order of chicken parmesan. It's going to be voluminous.
Voluminous.
And comforting.
What the hell it mean, Mike T?
I would call it emotional photosynthesis.
Whoop-de-whoop. I own you, Pimpo.
Blase blah. Oh! I cannot not see Crockett and Tubbs behind you.
There it is.
He was Benihana. By the end of the season, he was more ramen noodle.
None of those moves are really going to win them a Super Bowl.
The Giants and the Washington football team are better than the Dallas Cowboys.
He's got egg on his face. Jeff Saturday is going to hand out pancakes.
If this don't get you excited, you ain't got blood running through your body. Throw your damn pancakes in the trash can.
Ooh.
You use a brush or a sponge?
It's a sponge.
There's no question. D-Wood is sponge-worthy.
Bring it in real tight. You are high.
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 You haven't really been on Get Up until Jeff Saturday has called you high.
I'm high on life.
He high.
I've never shopped in the Lululemon stores.
Why did Booger and I have goofy cartoons of our faces and Dominique didn't?
Because Dominique's not goofy looking.
That's a nice damn picture.
Jeff, you can just spin anything.
What are we doing?
Sweep the leg.
Swagoo's torso looks like he's the lawyer for his bottom half.
How do you find Will Smith in the snow?
How do you find Will Smith in the snow?
You look for the Fresh Prince.
Yes!
Oh. He'll be here all week.
Hey, it's funny.
Let us finish then with what I think might very well have been my favorite moment of the year. It's big man, tiny helmets.
Oh!
Hey, you just yeah.
I'm hit. He's hit.
I'm hit.
Men, it's been good.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
I feel very lucky that I get to be part of this very entertaining and hysterical crew. Thanks for hanging out with us on Get Up today. Happy New Year, everyone. Greeny will be back on Monday. We'll see you in 2022.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.